Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Last night, we talked about how, as kids, we can serve God as family camp friends. How we can serve God as family camp friends. And one of the verses we looked at, I think probably one of the key verses, was mentioned at the end, Romans 15:7. And Romans 15:7 says this: "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." One of the images we thought about as we thought about what it means to be a friend, to be a family camp friend, is that image of a tree, right? Drawing water and then bearing forth fruit. As we draw from the life of Christ, his life in us, and then bearing forth his fruit. Tonight, we're going to think about another image that the scripture gives to us, another metaphor, another example, the body. And we're going to think about the body as we think about what it means to be a church member. So remember, we're going to think about how we serve God in different areas of our lives. We thought about serving God at family camp as a family camp friend. Tonight we think about what it means to serve God as a kid, as a church member. We'll think about what is a church member, a good place to start, and then why it is we are church members, trying to understand that a little bit more. That's when we'll get into some of that a little deeper. And then finally, how. Right? How can you serve God as a church member? So what, why, how is our structure for this evening. Let's begin with some prayer, and then we'll start by reading some scripture after that. All right, you ready to pray? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening and this time that we have together to think about your word. We ask that you would help us to be transformed by it. We ask that you would help us to grow from it, that you would speak your word, and that it would change us in such a way that we bear forth this fruit, that we become more and more like Christ as members of his body, that we might serve one another and glorify you. Teach us, Lord, what it means to be a church member, particularly as a kid. Help us to understand why that is and how we can serve you in this way. We ask for your blessing. Help us to be attentive to these things, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament. It comes before 2 Corinthians. Pro tip. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse 12. So then I'll give you a moment to turn there. If you want help finding it, just turn to a friend and ask for help. That's fine. That's always fine. All right. Let's read together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'll read through verse 26. All right. Let's listen to God's word. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. But that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's a good word. Right, so what does the Lord reveal to us here about being a church member? What is a church member? Where does this idea come from? Well, it comes from a passage like this and some others like it, which describe belonging to Christ as like being a part of a body. As a part of a body, one of the implications of this is that you're not the whole body, right? You're a part of it, which means you're dependent on other parts, right? I like how Paul has it. He has this kind of silly image, doesn't he? The whole body, an eye, right? Just one giant eye, right? That wouldn't be a body, would it? Or if you just had a giant 6-foot ear, right? This would not be a body, would it? And besides that, it wouldn't even be able to function as a body needs to function. If the whole body were just a giant ear, how would it see? If the whole body were a giant eye, how would it hear? And so, in this amazing way, with our own bodies, God takes our fingertips and our kneecaps and our ears and our eyes and all these different parts, some of them very, very small, and some of them big, and some of them hidden, and some of them open and public, all of these different parts. He puts together in this perfect way, exactly as he chooses. And he puts them together in such a way that they're all dependent on one another. This week, I was building this dog pen, or a roof for a dog pen, and I was using these reeds, and as I was breaking these reeds off to construct this roof really quickly before family camp, it doesn't matter, but anyway, I'm pulling these reeds off, and I got one little splinter, just a tiny splinter from these reeds here on my finger. I can still see the mark, okay? Guess what happened? All my attention went right here to this one little fingertip. For the first, I had to go find the tweezers, and then I was there in the bathroom for a while working on it. And then I said to my wife, please come help me because I can't see it. We get this magnifying glass out, and we turn on the light. You've all been through this, right? It's this huge ordeal, and it feels like it's this tree that's in your fingertip. And then you finally get it out, and it's this dinky little thing. Right, this tiny, tiny little thing that bothered the whole body so much, right? That one tiny little part affected all of me. My heart was engaged, my mind was engaged, my eyes were engaged, other people started getting involved all over a splinter. And this is, of course, common. All the more so when you twist your hip or sprain your back. But other things, too, it works the other way, right? If you've ever decided, well, I'm going to start working out more or something like that, and you start working on your core, right, all of a sudden you notice other things start improving, right? Because all of these things, they work together in this amazing way God has designed our bodies. Well, what Paul says about the church is it's the same thing. God takes all of these individual people, some short, some tall, some young, some old, or as he puts it, some Jews, some Greeks, some slaves, some free, all these different categories and kinds of people. He puts them together in this one organism, like a living thing. Sometimes we could call it an organization, but it is a living thing, right? So it's like this organism. It's this living body that's all attached together and of which we are all a part. And so there's all kinds of implications of that, which we'll think about more later. How then do we serve God as one part of the body? Now, you don't want to take this too far and begin asking yourself, well, am I a fingertip or am I a nose? Right? That's not going to be a very helpful question to you. The point is to see how we're connected and how when we ask how are we connected within the body of Christ, we think about the particulars that he has given to us, the particular gifts and places and contexts he's put us in. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. So the first thing is when we think about ourselves as a church member, we want to think of ourselves as being a part of a body, a larger organism in which all of the people around you, this is the regional church, right? This is the church of our region and all of these different parts coming together to form a whole that the Lord uses. All right, let's get into the why now. So we've talked about the what of church. What is church membership? Now, why are you a church member? This is a theological answer. There's a theological reason behind this. And that's one way I'd like to answer this question. And the answer is, why is this the case? It's because God has made you a part of the body. So in 1 Corinthians 12, we read how we are all in Christ. We all have the same spirit. We are ordered in the way that he chose. Right? We are who we are because he is who he is, and he's done what he's done. Let's look at another passage. If you turn a few pages over to Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find a passage I'd like to read to you from there. So Ephesians chapter 4 talks about a similar idea in which God has put us together, has given us one another in different kinds of ways for a purpose. We're all involved in it, and he's at the center. He's at the core. Or to use a body analogy, he's the head, is one way of describing this. So listen, I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him. We grow up into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So you have this amazing imagery in which Paul describes the body building itself up in love, right? So like when you do a push-up, right? If you do a push-up, right, you push your arms off the ground and you use different muscles to exercise different muscles. And as you do this, you get stronger and stronger. But it's not all us on our own. God is the one who has equipped us. God is the one who has put every part in its proper place, and it's into Christ and into the fullness of him that we are growing. Other places in Scripture describe this in other ways. It talks about how we are like a household, different imagery than a body. Like a household in which we are founded on Christ the cornerstone and the apostles and the prophets, and we're like stones being built up into this spiritual house of the Lord. So what you see from these passages is that we are who we are because of what Christ has done for us. So when we put our faith in him, he makes us part of something bigger, bigger than we would be all on our own. Now, this is really important to understand for a few reasons. I'd like you, if you've disengaged for a moment, to refocus for a second and listen to a few reasons, reasons why this is so important to know this as a church member. All right, so I'm going to give you three. Number one is that as a member of the body of Christ, you can just start letting go any feelings of worthlessness. Any feelings that I'm not enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm too tired, I'm too small, I don't know enough things, any of that, you can just let that go. Because you do not belong to the body of Christ because of any of those things. You belong to the body of Christ because of Christ, because of what he's doing, because of what he's growing, because he has brought you to himself. You don't have to pass a certain ability level or wealth or independence before you can belong to Jesus. Simply by trusting him, you are made worthy. You're adopted into his family, you're a member of his household, you're a member of his body. So you can, any of that self-shaming, worthless doubt talk, you can just let that go now, okay? Because you're worthy in Christ. He is our all in all. We belong to his body, and he is very, very worthy. Number two, by understanding this idea about church membership and who we are in the body of Christ, we can now understand where our gifts come from. Our gifts, our opportunities, our challenges, these come to us from God. It's his Spirit working in us. Some people think that spiritual gifts refer to just these really extraordinary things like speaking in tongues or resurrecting the dead. And those certainly are spiritual gifts. But that can't be all that's true, can it? Are we going to say that sharing a meal and opening a door and picking up communion cups after the service, that these things have absolutely nothing to do with the Spirit, all totally human-centered? I don't think we want to say that, do we? Right? If that makes you feel uncomfortable, good. Right? That's good. If you memorize God's word by just the hard work of memorization, and then you share it with someone, and that person's blessed by it, are you going to say, well, yeah, that was all me, right? No, of course not. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired the word. It was God who gave you a mind and a heart to do this. He's the one who gives you the opportunity to share it. He's the one that blesses the work. This is the work of the Spirit of God in us through these kind of ordinary things. So, as we think about who we are in the body of Christ, we don't want to think about, well, I'm only important if I have these really big things, whatever, however you happen to find big, or someone else defines it for you. No, you are a valuable, essential member of the body of Christ just because you belong to the body of Christ. And God promises that to every single member, he gives gifts. Gifts that are useful and valuable and important, and that he blesses us. So remembering where our strength comes, where our gifts come from, this reminds us to be humble, and it also, I think, reminds us to be bold. All right, the third reason. Does God use ordinary gifts to do extraordinary things? Right? Does he use ordinary gifts to do extraordinary things? Well, if you understand what the body of Christ is, then your answer to that will be yes. Let me give you a few examples. In John 6, 8 through 9, there's this moment that happens where Jesus is with thousands of people, 5,000 people, and they're hungry. And they find this boy who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. A boy who has a little bit of food. And then Jesus uses this boy and this little bit of food to feed 5,000 people. Pretty ordinary gift, right? He's not even named. He just was there. He was there with some food. And yet, what did the Lord do? He used it. The boy simply gave what he had to the Lord, which is, if we're honest, what the Lord had already given to him. He gave what he had to the Lord, and the Lord used it. David, here's another example. David, when he defeated Goliath, he did it with ordinary skill that God had given him. In obedience to God and faithful, and with faith in God, God did an extraordinary thing with David's slingshot abilities. Now, is it possible that he all of a sudden became an extraordinary shot right then? Sure, why not? Right? God could have instantly given him this ability to hit accurately a mark. That's possible. And that'd be great to the glory of God. I think we can also say that David, as a shepherd who is also a boy who likes slingshots, perhaps, like a lot of other boys I know, used his slingshot, practiced his slingshot, and then God blessed his slingshot in this particular moment to do a wonderful thing. Here's another example. Timothy, another child in the scriptures. What do we know about Timothy's childhood? We know this. This is going to not shock you. His mom and his grandma taught him the Bible. Right? This doesn't sound like this kind of amazing, mind-blowing experience, right? This super awesome thing that happened to Timothy. But of course it was. His mom and his grandma taught him the Bible. And he learned it, and then God used it. And he became a pastor who blessed many, many, many people, churches all over. And God, in some ways, is still using today through the work that he did and the churches that he helped establish and our forefathers and foremothers who have passed on the faith just as his parents did. And others have as well. So sharing food, practicing your slingshot, memorizing some scripture. These may seem like very ordinary things, and they are. But this is what God does. He doesn't tell us, go strive after extraordinary things and then you'll be important. He says, you are important. Here's some gifts. Use them. And just trust me. Trust me that I'm working in you. Trust me that no matter how young or how old you are, I can and I am using you. And sometimes we get to see that when Goliath falls to the ground, you go, wow. And other times, we don't. The effect that Timothy and Paul and many, many others have had continues on generation after generation after generation. Timothy doesn't know any of our names. And yet we were blessed by his service and Paul's letters to him and the example that he set and these kinds of things. So these are some reasons why it's important to understand the body of Christ, because it helps form our hearts. It forms our motivations, our desires, and our understanding of how we fit in. And kids, I hope it helps you to understand not to neglect what God has given you. Even if you think it is small, it's not. It's from God, and you can use it, and you can develop it, and you can grow it for however much time he gives you. Well, now that we understand what a member is, a part of the body of Christ, and we understand what Christ is doing in us and why, let's talk about how we can serve him. All right, so there's 3 big things that we are called to do in the church. There's 3 big things that we're called to do in the church. Some organizations that you might be a part of get to decide, right? You get to decide what you're going to do. Let's say you and your friends get together and you just start a club. You get to decide what kind of club you're going to be. Maybe you're going to be a club that digs holes in the backyard. Maybe you're going to be a club that learns to play guitar. Maybe you're a club that, I don't know, spies on other people. No, don't do that. A little too revealing there. So you can decide, right? The church is not a club. The church has a boss. Or if we use the imagery of a body, the church has a what? A head. And the head is Christ. So guess who gets to decide what the church does? Christ. And guess who we're really happy it is that decides what the church does? Us. And we're glad that Christ does that for us. And he gives us basically three big jobs to do. Our book of church order describes it this way: divine worship, gospel witness, and mutual edification. What I want to do right now is simplify that into three W's for you. So these are the three big works of the church. We're going to call it worship, witness, and walk together. All right? Worship, witness, and walk together. Let's say those together. Number one, worship. Number two, witness. Number three, walk together. All right, one more time. Worship, witness, walk together. All right. So these are the three big tasks that the Lord Jesus has given us to do. Now, in your home, when you are given a chore to do, you know, if you're good at chores, that a lot of times that chore has a lot of little chores under it, right? Clean the kitchen, right? I don't have microphones right now, but raise your hand. I'll point to you, and you tell me what clean the kitchen means, right? What's something that you have to do to clean the kitchen? All right, give me one thing. Sweep the floor. Another thing. Clean the island. I love it. Another one.
Wash the dishes.
Wash? I thought she said floss the dishes. You were mixing chores. Wash the dishes. Another one.
Organize the cabinets.
Another one. Mop the floor. Next. Did you get the? You got yours taken. Some over. We'll do three or four here. What?
Wipe down the surfaces.
Wipe down the surfaces in front. That was yours. Okay. Yes. Put away the silverware. All right, Benjamin, last one.
Clear off the counters.
Okay. So clean the kitchen. Hey, kid, parents, your kids know how to clean the kitchen. Everyone's like, wait a second. clean the kitchen, right, has all of these little tasks under it. All the things that really mean clean the kitchen. And it's like that with other chores, you know, clean the bathroom, clean your room, these kind of things. It's like that with these three big tasks, these three big objectives that the Lord gives us, which are worship, witness, and walk together. All right, so worship. We're thinking now about how do we serve God? How are we a part of the body of Christ? Or even more particularly, how can kids serve God as a part of the body of Christ in worship? All right. Let me give you some suggestions. Number one, make it a priority. Make it a priority. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this: while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Big deal, right? Holds value in every way for now and for forever. Well, Lord's Day worship is one of the primary ways that God takes care of his people, one of the main ways in which he brings us together for these tasks of worship, of witness, of walking together. So we can make a choice about worship, right? We can say, not a big deal, I don't really care. Or we can say, no, this is important, and I want to do my part as a member. So that means getting ready the night before, Right? That means showing up on time. It means not staying up so late that you're having a hard time all throughout the service to stay awake. It means helping maybe your brothers and sisters, right? If you're all ready and you see someone else needs help, that helps them to get to worship, which helps them worship. Here's another idea about worship. Not only can we make it a priority and make it important, but another way kids can help in worship is by being present. Now, have you ever been talking to a friend and you're talking to your friend and you just kind of see them like, and then they look back at you like almost like they have to, and then they look off. Well, sometimes pastors see this as they look out. As they look out among their congregation, sometimes we see a certain like, oh yeah, listen. And then, right. When we are fully present, we not only help ourselves, but we actually can help others too. Right? There's ways in which we can be distracting, right, in worship. We're not really there for worship. We're there to play our games and do this and talk to other people and color these pages and all these things that we want to do, and except for worship, right? And the pastor says something like, all right, let's stand now for the call to worship, right? God is going to call us to worship. Do you know what's happening right then? It's not just the pastor, but it's God himself, through his servant, through the pastor, calling us to worship. Big deal, right? So let's stand up, right? When the pastor then says, all right, let's pray, guess what it's a good time for? Praying, right? Here's an opportunity, a moment in your life where you are given time and space to talk to the Lord, for him to hear you. And really, he hears you. He listens. He doesn't get distracted. He doesn't forget. He doesn't get focused on other things. When we do things like wear modest clothing, turn our phones off, whatever it is you might think of to be fully present, that's very helpful. And that changes in our seasons of life. It changes as our culture changes, right? We have to be sensitive to these things. There's a big Puritan book on the Sabbath and talks about all about worship and things like that. I remember reading this once, and the author advises, make sure that when you come to worship to not bring your hunting dogs and your falcons. Right? Leave them at home. Maybe you shouldn't be hunting on the Lord's Day, but it's definitely distracting to other people to have a big old falcon right next to you, right? We don't have this trouble, perhaps, as much, but we have our own, right? And each of us, you know, from week to week, we have to think about this, to think, how can I be here? How can I be helpful? All right, one more thing. I'm going to ask you, in order, you're going to have to think for a second. Maybe in a little different way than you're used to. In order for worship to happen on Sunday morning, there's a number of little things that also have to happen. Can anyone guess what I'm talking about? What things have to happen in order for worship, in order for God's people to come together and worship? Any raised hands? Yes, want to give it a try? You have to have a place to meet. That's good. What else do you need? Yes. What'd you say? Worship God and at church. Yes, that bill. You need some place to meet. I've shared this with some of you. If you ask me, I can find it. If you look at the First Presbyterian Church in Phoenix, I think the date is like 1870-something. It's a bunch of Ocotillo branches in a circle. And the session's standing outside like this. We're in like three-piece suits, and it's dated July. Oh. Right? They called it the Brush Church in Phoenix, right, which was not very big, right? They called it the Brush Church, and they were there for a while until they couldn't take it anymore. And then they moved to a saloon until I think the article said that the bodily odors were so, and fluids were so bad that the wives told their husband, get on it, figure something else out. So then they had a third building relatively soon after that, right? It can be hard sometimes to find a place to meet. It can be hard to know where to go, and some of you in your churches have struggled with this and these kinds of things, but you need somewhere, right? Whether it's a brush house or a saloon or some other place, you need somewhere to go. All right, what else? I'm going on too long. What else? Yes? Yes, you need people to believe in God in order to worship. Yes? You don't have to have a white church. No. A wide church. Okay, yes. Yes, your church can... A church, this church I mentioned in Phoenix, it was a circle, but it does need to be wide enough to hold everyone. But what I like about that answer, and where I'm trying to get you to go, is to think really, really practically, okay? Let me lead the way a little bit. Oh, yes.
I was going to say, like, sound system, bulletin.
Yes, right. You have to sit somewhere. There has to be a chair, right? The door has to be unlocked if there's a lock on it, right? A bulletin, if you have a bulletin, it has to be printed. Yes. You need a pastor to preach the word, to lead the service. You need all these things. Okay, so I want you to think about this, kids, from your perspective now. As you think about all the things that need to happen in worship, like the doors need to be unlocked, someone needs to greet the people as they come in, someone hands out the bulletin, someone preaches, someone sets up the chairs, someone picks the hymns, all of these things, I want you to ask, as you think about your own church service, I want you to ask yourself, who's in charge of that? Let's just pick one thing, right? The doors. Think about this right now, kids. Who in your church opens the door?
The deacon.
Do you know their name? All right, kids, I'm talking to you in particular, okay? 18 and under, I'm talking to you. Try to think, do I know? How does that door get open? Right? It opens not magically. It opens because someone says, I'll do that. I, with the gift that I have of turning my wrist and of being responsible for a key and coming on time, so it starts to turn into a little bit more as we see, I will come and I will open that door. And that's a big deal, isn't it? Those are not extraordinary, amazing, mind-blowing things, but they're pretty important, aren't they? Unless you want to stand in a 90, 100-degree parking lot in June and worship there. Somebody has to open that door. Someone's in charge of that. Ask yourself now, if that person didn't do that job, what would happen then? What would happen if the person who didn't unlock the doors didn't unlock the doors? What would happen if the person who didn't print the bulletin didn't print the bulletins? What would happen if the person who was supposed to preach didn't preach? Right? I'll let you answer these later. Right now, these are hypotheticals. But you're engaged and you're listening, and I thank you for that. You're thinking through all of these different parts now. Now, here's the last question, and I'm just going to let you sit with it and think with it. You can talk with your friends or your parents about it. As you think through the different things that you see at church, where did the snacks come from? Who guards the snacks, right? Maybe you need a snack guard. Which of those jobs could you do or learn to do? Which of those jobs do you think, like, I could hand out a bulletin? I could pick up hymnals. I can unlock a door. I can say hello to someone. I can prepare a snack, right? There are things, there are abilities that you have right now and abilities that you can grow in if you're a little bit mindful about them and think about how can I serve as a member of the church for worship. All right, well, we can't go on this long with all of the others. So let's wrap this up. All right. Worship. What was the second one?
Witness.
So witness. That's the last one, but you gotta wait. Okay? It's coming. Hold it. You can be right at ready when it's time. With witness, it means one, being faithful to Jesus Christ even in the hard times. It means doing the right thing and saying the truth even when it's unpopular or people don't like it and it's hard. You can do that as a kid. You know how to say the right thing and do the right thing and honor the name of Christ even when it's hard. That's one thing a witness means. The second thing we can say a witness means is going and telling others about Jesus. How can you do that? How can you do that in the environments that you are in? It's really simple. Do you know something about Jesus? Do you know someone you can tell that thing to? You tell them. And that's it. That's it. Now, as you know more, you can say more. As you learn more about life and questions, you can deal with those things. But it really boils down very simply to that. It starts, of course, by living simply and sincerely before God wherever you are. It continues by getting to know people, listening to them, being friends to them, and having a heart for them, loving them. Your friends at school and in your co-ops, people you're on sports teams with, do you know them? Do you love them? And if you know them and you love them, you tell them about Jesus. And you invite them to learn more by coming to church or going to your Bible study or just saying, hey, I'd like to read some scripture with you. Scripture? What scripture? It's the Bible. Do you want to read it with me? People will say yes. Just reading the Bible together. What happens if you have a question? You ask somebody for the answer. It's really simple. All right, last one. Worship, witness, and?
Walk together.
All right, mutual edification uses a building imagery, building up, right? But we walking together, we follow the Lord together. We're disciples. We follow the Lord, and we do this together. And when somebody wanders, we grab their arm, and we bring them back. And when somebody's getting tired, we put their hand on their back, and we help them to go. If you've ever been really tired, maybe you're going on a long hike. Try this. If you're really tired and you're just having trouble putting one foot in front of the other, have your friend come up behind you and not push you, but just see how little they can do. Just barely put their hand on your backpack or your back or something like that and watch how much it helps. It's amazing. They barely have to do anything, and it makes a big difference. We do this as we walk together. And so in our church lives, together, as we walk together, as we grow together, it's kind of like the witnessing part, except within the body, right? We say, who is this person? Do I know their name? Do I know what's going on in their life? How can I serve them? How can I help them? So very practically, it means getting to know other people's names and lives. It means praying for them. Kids, raise your hand if you have the ability to pray for someone. There you go. You can pray for someone. Raise your hand if you have the ability to join in a church activity, like a fellowship meal where desserts are present, like a hike, right? Yes, yeah, some enthusiastic dessert people. Good. If we're open to how we can bless one another, you can and must be a part of the work of walking together. So, in worship, in witness, and in walking together, in these three things, these core things that Jesus asks us to do, there's a whole lot of little things under that, right? Little things from collecting the hymnals to handing out invitations to saying an encouraging word to someone, all these little things that we do together as part of the body. So we know what a church member is. Someone who's a part of the body of Christ, an essential, important part, no matter how young or old they are. Why are you a church member? You're a church member because God has made you one, and He has put you exactly where He wants you to be right now. And he's given you gifts, ordinary gifts, that you can use to serve him and glorify him. And you serve him and glorify him by simply looking around and seeing, what can I do? How can I help and be present in worship? How can I tell somebody else about Jesus? How can I encourage my brothers and sisters as I walk together with them? Your job is to develop whatever gifts God has given you in all of these areas. You don't have to be another person or someone else. You just have to be you and use what God has used and given, or what God has given to you for others. And that's how we serve God as a member of the church. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for uniting us to Christ in such a way that we're no longer people that are held captive by our passions and desires, that we're no longer captive to our selfishness and our pride. But instead, Lord, we can let these sins go, and we can love others, welcome others as you have loved us, not only with our friends, but Lord, in the body of Christ in particular. Lord, you've given us these important callings together as a church, and none of us can do them all by ourselves. Worship and witness and walking together. You've given us these important callings. Help us to have open eyes and open hearts to see where and how we can serve you. Help us to grow in our worship, Lord. Not simply by doing the right things at the right times, Lord, but doing so out of faith that you are working in us, that you have blessings to give us, and that you promise to build us up and to help us build up one another as we join together in worship. Lord, we also recognize that though we are so we have a strong tendency according to our flesh to worship ourselves, you have called us out of that to worship you. Please help us, Lord. Help us to tell other people about that and to be a part of that together. As we tell other people and as we support that work, the work in the church, help us to find each our own particular part. Sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes in front, sometimes talking, sometimes not. Help us as a body of Christ to work together, supporting one another in our gifts and callings. Finally, Lord, we ask that you would help us to walk together. And to do that even now here as a regional church, as this body that is knit together by your Holy Spirit across large geographic distances, knit us together in love that we might encourage and build up one another in Christ. And as that happens, Lord, help us to grow in our maturity, to grow in our gifts, to grow in our worship and in our witness. And may we in turn not only grow as a regional church, but also in our local particular churches back home. Thank you for your blessing on us this evening. We pray for the rest of the activities tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.